To explain it, the thing is like this, that everything in this world has what's called a light and a vessel. And everything in this world, if you look at it, it's some type of a hamshacha, a godly revelation, and this has to be put into a vessel. Even in the physical world, you need vessels for everything. You have, somebody gives you a check, you need a bank account. You need to put the money into the bank account. You need to do some type of an action. Even our body, you know, is in a house. Our body is in clothes. There's constantly this relationship of body, of light and vessel. When the vessel is too big for the light, or too small for the light, or broken, or damaged, then the light cannot dwell in it. So when something happens, something like that, it means that the vessel is not worthy for the light. The easiest way to explain it is you see sometimes a relationship with a father and a child, a mother and a child. The father or the mother wants to get a point across, but they're using the wrong light for what the vessel of the child can hold. The vessel of the child can hold, a seven-year-old cannot hold too many information, and he doesn't know what you meaning. When you walk into the room and you start screaming that the room is upside down, that's too much light trying to go into a very small vessel. It doesn't go in, it's not going to fit. The reaction will be that the child, you know, moves back, like, what do you want from me? You have to understand what the child is thinking. When you start screaming at the child, he's looking now at an adult that's screaming like an animal. He's like, why is that person screaming? He doesn't understand. That's why parenthood is failing in many, many departments, because the parent is trying to give something to the child in a portion that the child cannot handle. This kind of relates to the relationship of a light and a vessel. She now poured me a lot of water in here. Look how big this vessel is. You know how much water can go in here? And I can technically get the same amount of water with a very small vessel. I will get the same amount of water, but it will fill the vessel all the top, all the way to the top. Now the vessel is going to be in completion. It's going to be fulfilled. I got the exact same amount, but the vessel now is huge. One might say, if I look at it in a very limited way, hey, you didn't give me a lot. That's what kids do. Hey, you didn't give me a lot.
Because I knew your stomach, it's not a big vessel.
No, to get more water. If you take now this amount of water and put it in a small cup, it will make the cup full. So what I'm trying to say is that in relationship, that sometimes the light that goes into the vessel is too much. So ADHD is too much light in a vessel that cannot handle it. The reaction is, you know, the person moves away.
So I've got a child with very severe ADHD. How do I help her connect her intellect to her spontaneity?
The thing is like this. First of all, there are three levels here. The first level is the spiritual level, because kids are very sensitive. Even though many might find loopholes in halakha where it's permitted for kids to do certain things, their neshama is so sensitive, it gets affected right away. I used to live not too long ago in a big building. And my neighbor would come, can you tell your two-year-old to turn my light on Shabbat? I was like, no. Why should she desecrate Shabbat? Oh, it's a two-year-old. Yeah, but her neshama still feels it. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, according to halakha, you don't have to be so particular with meat and dairy with kids. And yes, you have to, because they're so sensitive. Their neshama is so sensitive that you give kids things that are not kosher, it affects them. You give kids junk, spiritual junk, what they show on TV, and games and all these things, it affects the neshama right away. So in the spiritual level, you have to make sure that she's getting the doses that what she can handle. You have to be extremely strict with her with kosher. Kids have to be more strict with, I'm more strict with my kids in kosher than on myself. Why? Because their neshama is sensitive. I'm not looking right now at what the halacha permits me to do or what doesn't permit me to do. I'm looking in a more deeper level. My kids' neshamas are sensitive, so what they see affects them right away. What they hear affects them right away. So I'm very particular with what they see on TV. Yeah, they can watch TV, but there's kosher shows. what they play, the games they play with, every little thing that the child is in touch with affects their neshama in a very deep level, and it's everything. Keeping Shabbat kosher, you know, even my kids, I make sure that they wear tzitzit, even though a kid does not have to wear tzitzit. A boy till his bar mitzvah does not have to wear tzitzit. But his neshama is so sensitive, why should I not put a mitzvah on him? Why should I not empower his neshama? Kids don't have to say Kriyat Shema L'Amidah. I make my kids say Kriyat Shema L'Amidah. Forget about the chinuch here. Because spiritually it affects them. It's affecting my four-year-old to wear tzitzis and to carry the bucket with water next to his bed. All these things affect him. So in the spiritual level, you have to do that because it will affect them. Connected to the spiritual level, up until the age of bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah, whatever the parents do directly affects the kids. Directly. Do you know that in the spiritual level, the kids come from the father, from whom? The sphere of chokhmah, because the sperm comes from the father, but the mother comes from the sphere of bina. She's the one who's cooking the baby for 9 months. For 9 months, the baby is depending on you. Food, air, but all the sustenance gets from the mom. Up until bar and bat mitzvah, the sustenance that the kids get, they get directly from the father and mother. So if I want my kids to have an easier life in their struggling, I have to refine myself. What the father and the mother do directly affects the kids.
They learn from the Gemara Ishit? That's what you're saying?
I'm not talking to Gemara Ishit, I'm talking spiritually. If I now sit and learn Torah, which affects my intellect, my mochin, right away spiritually it affects my kids.
How?
How?
It's
even more alachat kama vekama in the spiritual level. This is a very in-depth topic, but in a very short explanation, the father carries the sperm. The sperm is in the father's mind. It's in the brain. It's not in the organ where people think. The sperm comes from the brain, then it goes down the spine, out, and then it's delivered to the woman. In the spiritual level, the sperm comes from the chokhmah, from the mind, from the mochin of the father. So you can say that in the DNA that comes from the sperm that's in the child, there's also a chip, a spiritual chip from the intellect of the father. So when
before he was born,
yeah,
you already exist.
No, but it's there. It's always there. It's always there. When the father learns Torah and prays and guards his eyes, his tongues, does all sorts of things, it affects the kids directly. Same thing with the mother. We affect our kids how we behave. You said you have problems with patience, anger, etc., etc. You arouse that in you, it affects the child. Why it happens? Ooh, that's a 3 months course explaining the depth of the spiritual structures of our souls. But our souls are connected. The fact that it's two separate bodies has nothing to do with it. It's one soul. It's a connection like Wi-Fi. How am I getting Wi-Fi to this little box when the transmitter is 50 meters from me? There's some type of a connection. One transmits, one receives. Yeah, when I sit down now as a father and I learn Torah and I activate this spark in my mind, in my mochin, by Wi-Fi I'm transmitting this level of hara, of this revelation, of enlightenment, straight into my child. Right away. So my children will be more successful in school, they'll be more relaxed, they'll be more receptive. They're not going to be so chutzpanim, they're not going to answer, but all these things. Now the father brings the intellect, the mother brings the midot. You work on yourself, it will affect the child. So something like ADD and stuff like that, that's actually more the father. You tell your husband to learn more Torah.
I get the color every day.
Good, so he has to learn even more. The thing is that, again, this is not a 100% answers. I'm just telling you what you need to focus on, that slowly, slowly it starts affecting them. So one thing is how they get affected spiritually. The second thing is the parents. Physically, you have to see what they're eating, because food affects directly the brain. Directly. Anything that you put in your stomach gets digested, becomes blood, that starts affecting the entire body. If you look at what you buy in the supermarket, 80% of it is poison. If not 90%. All the food that you buy off the shelf is full with chemicals, MSG, GMO, food coloring, all this junk that the kids eat, 100% poison. It's not 90% poison. It's 100% poison. I don't know why people even consume it. My kids came now from Purim with all the Mishlochei Manot. 90% of what were in the bags we threw away. I told them, give me the Mishlochei Manot. I'll give you normal things. Just give me the junk. You know, my kids come back from birthday parties with all the sweets. They come with these jelly things, the gummy things. This is like a rubber band with colors and taste. This is 100% poison, not 90% or 80%. And it affects the kids much greater than the parents, but even parents. Everything, you know how they say in America, you are what you eat? That's it. So I believe that 90% of the problems that people have in our generation physically now is just the food, just nutrition. You take now...
Yeah, I read a book about that and went through my entire kitchen, freezer, fridge, everything. I threw away anything with a bad E number that they knew caused hyperactivity. And we do, we hardly buy processed food. But there's still more.
There's always more, and kids are very, very sensitive, and some are more sensitive than the others. So one kid, it will affect less. One kid, it will affect very, very strong. There's no black and white here. But I'm giving you different departments that you can focus and see, like, okay, let's now psychoanalyze in this particular child. Maybe the kosher diet is not 100%. Maybe I'm not really machmir with the exact time between meat and dairy. Maybe I'm giving them this. Maybe I'm giving them that. These are just solutions, not necessarily that will solve the problem. I'm just giving you different ideas. But I can tell you for a fact that the nutrition that we have in our generation is poison. The people that are depressed and anxiety and fears and all these things, put them on a normal diet, you'll see that most of it will not happen. And ultimately, you have to see, how you are relating with the child. Because you can be the best mother in the world, your husband can be the best father in the world, but the communication, I don't know how old she is, but little kids, younger kids, till they're teenagers, when the brain is not developed, the brain starts developing when they're 16, 17, their brain really starts developing. How you connecting to the child also affects, because when the child, you have to understand that children don't have tools how to deal with life. They don't know how to deal with anger or with frustration or with disappointment. Kids don't have tools. How you deal with a child, you actually have to give them the tools. And if a parent doesn't deal the right way with a child, like I said before, too much light in a very small vessel, the reaction is that the child gets pulled away. So it will either will come down as child being totally closed, doesn't open up, or concentration problems. All these problems, it's the child, they don't know how to react. So you have to see how you communicating with the child, how you making the child that the line of communication is different. I'm not saying better, because could be that you're an amazing mom, but maybe you're using the wrong methods how to communicate with the child and how it affects the child, and that the child pulls away. They don't want to deal with children. Don't want to deal with problems. They don't know how to deal with problems. A parent says something the wrong way. In our generations, parents threat. If you don't do this, I'm going to do that. Kids don't react good to threats. They don't understand, why are you threatening me? What, if I'm not going to clean my room, you're going to take away my dinner? Whatever. People in our generation, they use a lot of threats. It's not the right way to interact with a child. And the older they grow, the threats become less less real. Like, what, are you threatening me? So it also depends how you interact with the child. So if you start psychoanalyzing all these things, could very much be that you're going to start refining it. Now the thing is that since she's close to bat mitzvah, you want to start making her do a lot more mitzvot that are more intellect, that will affect her mochin, because it does affect, you know, people look at the mitzvot, they're like, okay, it's physical rituals. It's not physical rituals, it's things that actually affect my body. If Hashem told me in the Torah to do something, He knows exactly why He told me to do that. It's not just a ritual that somebody invented. If the Torah tells me to do a certain act, it means that Hashem knows that it will affect a certain point of my brain, my body, my neshama, and if I don't get it, same way that if you're now going to starve a person, there's going to be all sorts of side effects. You starve a person spiritually, there'll be all sorts of side effects. And you have to see, because each individual is completely different. But so much more so when she's getting closer and closer to bat mitzvah, now she's going to be bat mitzvah. She's going to be now chayav, according to the Torah, to certain things. You have to see, each individual has a different mitzvah that affects the neshama in a very deep way. Some neshamot are coming from the tzad of gvura. Some neshamot coming from the tzad of chesed. Each neshama comes from a different place, and it will manifest into the body. So you really, as a parent, that you worry about the child, you want to psychoanalyze where is all these things happening. And some kids, it's going to affect less. Some kids, you have to put a lot more effort in order for it to kick in. But I can tell you already that the two major things is nutrition, and the other thing is spiritually what's going on around her. Because kids, you know, are very, their transmitters are very sensitive. And some kids, they're less, so they don't get affected so much. Some kids, they get affected right away. And how you and your husband conduct with each other, your relationship, and by yourselves, your relationship with Hashem, directly affects the children. So sometimes when I see something negative in my child, I don't start searching, why is my child doing it? I'm searching in me, wait a minute. Maybe I'm doing something not so good, that my child now is behaving like that. Because children are really to refine us. We think that we are educating them, but we look at the child, a smart parent looks at the child and says, okay, let me see, the child is showing me what I'm lacking, what I'm doing wrong. You know, usually children, and a guest comes to the house, the children starts telling everything. Oh, my dad says this, my mother, shh, what are you doing? Kids tell you the truth. You look at the kid in their face, you see what you have to work on yourself. So, again, this is not 100% the solution, but all these things probably will at least make it, if it would not make it much better, will make it a little bit better. But ultimately, all comes from Hashem. Tefillah, Utshuva, and Staka, everything helps. And sometimes Hashem wants, you know, when a child suffers, the parent suffers double. Sometimes a child goes through something for the parent to look at it and suffer and do tshuva and elevate themselves to a higher level. Ultimately, all comes from Hashem, and the one who puts the problem also can remove the problem. So sometimes you need to get on Hashem's best side and you pray. You make sure that you pray. Sometimes, you know, when Hashem puts a problem, because He wants you to talk to Him. When you don't talk to Hashem, Hashem feels very upset. Praying is not about opening the siddur and standing. I call it private time with God. I have 6 kids, Baruch Hashem, every day I'm traveling, speeches, lectures. They barely see me, so I make sure that once a week, each one has private time with me. Even if it's 20 minutes, just me and that child.
Once a week?
At least.
Every child?
Yeah. You know, last time I was here, one of my boys came, so they tag along. I make sure that each child gets private time, that they get my undevoted attention, and each child is completely different. One child, I can talk to him about intellectual things. The other child is only jokes. The other child is jumping up and down. Each child is different. And if I take two together, it's not the same, because one wants to be wild, the other one wants to talk. So each individual needs a completely personal injection. Hashem wants private time with you. So He tells you, open the siddur and start talking to me. That's private time between you and Hashem. Hashem tells you, take 10 minutes out of your day. I'm not asking much. I know you're busy. Take 10 minutes, close the door, and talk to me. I want some private time. So sometimes Hashem puts a problem. We see it as a problem. It's Hashem telling you, hello, can you just ask me to remove it? So sometimes Hashem pushes us Because he wants us to give him some attention, because when everything is good, we don't really stop to thank Hashem. When things are bad, that's when we remember to start praying and to wake up. So all this together is not necessarily 100% solution, but it's enough to start working on. Bezat Hashem. You're not going to have any more hardships. Yes.